Yeah, it'd be so low.
That was beautiful though, wasn't it? Amen. Well, have y'all enjoyed the preaching? Has the preachers, have they been really good?
Yes.
Well, good, you don't need me. No, you really don't. Anyhow, it's good to be here. Glad we could make it. Appreciate Brother Steve affording me the opportunity to preach, and all of you that's made the trip here and being a part of the conference. And I want to say that I appreciate the work that goes on before, during, and after. That after one gets you. God, we found out this Memorial Weekend down in Baton Rouge, we had our first conference that we have had in many years, and we found out the work level involved. We knew it was there, but when you go through it, it's pretty challenging. And we plan to have one next Memorial Weekend, unless the rapture or high water comes, and you'll find out about both of those if it happens. But if you, I know we're a good ways out from it, but we'll send out notices for that. And anyhow, I appreciate all the people that work in your fellowship and have contributed to the teaching and the cleaning and the cooking and everything involved. Yeah, we were dealt some heavy hands past few weeks. As you know, there is a risk living along the Gulf Coast of the hurricanes, and we had a couple. We found it amazing that when Gustav came along, all the reporters for the national news networks were down in New Orleans ready for it. And it went a bit west of them. And I'm watching one of the reporters out there giving his weather report. Yeah, the wind has picked up to about 30 miles an hour and it's raining. I'm like, because you're about 100 miles off from this thing. So they go back into their five-star hotel and spend the night and go have a dinner at the five-star restaurant on company expense, wake up the next day, nothing happens, and then fly first class back to their network offices and report nothing. Meanwhile, the capital city just got hammered, and they don't know it. And it has been tough. You know, normally we have probably, 10 to 15 people from our church that come to this conference, at least. And the reason why they're not here is because most everybody in our church suffered some form of damage to the house or lost power to where the refrigerators, you know, were shut off and all the food rotted. I mean, you can't imagine the things that add up from this type of thing. So they couldn't make it. They're, you know, doing the work over there. It's been very difficult. It is a challenge. And then we didn't get hit nearly as hard as Texas. And, of course, Jim and Jan know that firsthand. And there are brethren that live along the Gulf Coast. And so outside of just praying for saints, pray for us. At least hurricane season. Can I get that from you? You know. But I want you to know, in all the bad news, there's good news. And that is, when the winds of those hurricanes were blowing through, all the believers on the Gulf Coast were baptized with the Holy Ghost. No, I'll rebuke that thing and send it somewhere else. But anyhow, no, we have been challenged, and I guess my message may have something to do with being challenged a little bit. So let me go ahead and write this up here. Huh? It's supposed to. During some point, my message makes sense. That's if my message makes sense. But anyhow, concerning the message, there's a verse in your Bible. I've always gone under the assumption of it, applying to believers, after reading it, paying attention to it, I believe it's a verse that's written for all of mankind. And I'm going to show you why. We're not going to turn to it yet. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The messages have been really good. I appreciate them and enjoyed them. And we hadn't had much church for the past 3 weeks or so because the power's been out so long over there. Just had to cancel, and the few people that could make it made it. And, you know, we've been really sparse and in attendance because of this. So it's affected us serious. So I almost feel like I got to get regenerated up here, so I really appreciate the preaching myself. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And therein lies the gospel that Paul is talking about in verse 1. The gospel is like a three-step procedure here. 1, Christ died for our sins. 2, He was buried. And 3, He was raised again. Three-step procedure. Now, I'm not saying it takes 3 steps for salvation. I'm just saying there's like three-step procedure concerning the truth of the gospel, that is, Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and He was raised again the third day. That is the truth of the gospel. Now, Paul had some things going on there in Corinth that we want to look at. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians 13, I forget what preacher says what. Now one of them quoted this verse. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, he said, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." Interesting to note that he told these Corinthians, and he definitely preached the gospel, obviously, he told them to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. You see, there was a problem there at Corinth that Paul knew existed. He knew that there was an issue in that assembly that there were some there that were not saved. So he tells them to examine themselves. Now, what was it that raised the flag of concern for Paul to say, "Examine yourselves to see whether you're in your faith"? What was it that raised that flag? Look over back into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where's the switch for the fan? Okay. Because that is my biggest fan. Set her down. Sorry about that. All right, thank you. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. Remember, the gospel. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day. You know, you can't remove any portion of this gospel and have the gospel. You can't do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look in verse 12. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, he says, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Well, you had some there at that assembly that said, "We don't believe in the resurrection. We don't believe that Christ rose from the dead." Folks, you can't have any portion of the gospel. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again. You can't have any portion of that missing and still have the gospel. And so Paul said, "Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith." You know, we as preachers do not have the liberty or the luxury to assume in our churches everybody in there is saved. We cannot do that. Now at a conference, we know a lot of visitors come, and so we're, you know, under great conviction to reveal the gospel. But you know, when you're back home and you see the same faces over and over, and you get a visitor here and there, you know, you assume that the people that come for a length of time is saved. But really, from a preacher's perspective, you can't assume that. You can't take that for granted. I mean, some of the preachers have testimonies where they've been involved in churches preaching about Jesus Christ, preaching about His death, burial, and resurrection, and they said, I never trusted in Jesus Christ. You can attend church and be a part of it and sing and listen to wonderful music and singing and still be there lost. Paul had that at Corinth. Paul had that at Corinth. Now, that is the lost situation in life. That is the problem is, with those people don't believe, they're lost and they're going to wind up going to hell if they don't trust in Christ. That's their problem. But the saved also have problems. Look over in Philippians chapter 1. And there's so many verses here that could bear this out, but just for time and condensing the message here, we'll keep it short and sweet. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. You see, these believers here, these Philippians, they had a problem too. They had the problem of persecution. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, we like the word all. You know, all trespasses, being forgiven, all trespasses and stuff. Well, put on shall in that verse. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall. It doesn't say might, doesn't say could. Shall suffer persecution. You know, today, I think that the greatest persecution is probably a friend that won't be as close a friend to us anymore if we stand up for the Lord. But when you go back into the early church and you look at the persecution at that time, we're talking about people who were put to death. We're talking about people who were put in prison. We're talking about people who really wore stripes for the Lord Jesus Christ and suffered for it. Paul said, it's not only given in your behalf to believe on Him, but also to suffer. But also to suffer. And I can bet you that of all the saved people in here, and you know who you are, I bet you're dealing with problems that are very, very deep in your life. You know, we're having a good time here at the Bible conference, and we should. This is a great conference. We're having fun. We're joined together in one faith, striving together. We're all together. But in that, every one of us has something deep down inside that rips at us day in and day out. It torments us. Like I said, down in the Baton Rouge area, everybody is under a burden. When we had church after the first, well, actually the Sunday, the thing hit on a Monday, we had church Sunday prior to that. So everybody came in. And I preached to all 12 of them. You see, everybody, if you worked in any kind of capacity of oil field or chemical plant, you had to be at work. You had to bring the plants down and the whole systems had to be brought down. So they were at work. People were ready in their houses for the storm, getting ready for it. And the people there, the Sunday before the storm and the first Sunday after the storm, when I preached, I could tell. I could look at their face, and they were exhausted. Not just physically, emotionally, mentally, which wears on you to a spiritual level too. Folks, when the flesh gets down, it's hard to bring the spirit up. But I'm going to show you that it is possible. And I guarantee you, there are issues in our lives as saved individuals that's heavy on our hearts, that weigh us down. No, we don't have soldiers out there waiting for us to leave so they can persecute us. We're not going to be hauled off to jail because of our faith. Well, let me tell you something. After the first century church ended, passed on, and it went down, the God of this world didn't stop working on the church, the body of Christ. He's still after it. He's still on us. And so God wrote something, a verse that I used to really cling to. And I still do. But I did it in a selfish manner. Look over and while we're in Philippians, let's go to that verse. Look in chapter 4. Philippians 4. And all of you will probably at some point in time have read it or heard it. You either heard it from a preacher, or you saw it on a bumper sticker. But in chapter 4 of Philippians, look what he says in verse 19. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I used to think, that's great. That's for me. That's for me. You know, this verse here is a true verse. This verse here works. God wouldn't have it pinned down for us and then can't work it out. But what happens is man gets in the way. That's the problem. And I'm going to show you that. Look over and I'll show you a man in Luke that I think is just a perfect example of man in general. Look in Luke chapter 12. Look over in Luke chapter 12. What's good about Alabama playing earlier today is all you Alabama folks, you're not worried about the game. It's done. So you can pay attention up here. See, I got your undivided attention, I hope. Luke 12. I believe that this man here is a lot like both lost and saved people. So, we're going to use it in application form. In Luke 12, verse 16. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Rich man saw that he was doing pretty good out there in the fields. Filled up his barn and kept coming in. Boy, plentiful time. Said, what am I going to do now? So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down this barn and then I'll build one greater. Huge barn. And the Lord gave to me the revelation that this is the first Walmart. You know, in that situation, you can tell looking out there who wasn't paying attention to a word I said. What'd he say? He's going to Walmart? What about Walmart? Are they closing down? You see, a Jew started Walmart. It wasn't Sam Walton. But he said, look, I'm going to build a bigger and we're going to just fill it up. And after it's filled up, I'll say, oh, look, soul, just take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know what it's about? It's all about want. Want. I believe that every man, lost and saved, have a level of want in them that occupies our time. Whether you're lost or saved. Want. We want a promotion. We want a new car. We want more bells and whistles. We want a bigger house. We want, we want, we want. Now in this context, this man was gaining all in the world that he could, but he never considered his soul. That's the problem here. He didn't consider his soul. He wanted, he wanted, he wanted. Lost people today, they're caught up in the world. You can't blame a lost person for being involved in everything that's out there, entertainment-wise. They don't have hope in Christ. But what about us that have hope? How committed are we to any level of the ministry? Do we say, well, so-and-so is my preacher. It's up to him to do it. I just attend. You're part of the body of Christ if you're saved. You see, man's problem is want. We get caught up with the want. Turn back to Philippians and look at that verse. Philippians chapter 4, once again. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, says the eyes of man are never satisfied. How true. You know, if God left it up to us that He supplied our wants, it'd be never ending. Why? We're never satisfied. Now let's try this verse again in chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your what? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't say in Christ Jesus. He said by Christ Jesus. And what's interesting here, and we've had several messages, Paul said, my God. That's a study in itself. That's a message in itself. My God. No, he didn't say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't say the God of Israel. He said, my God. You see, this is the blasphemer who could not be saved other than the grace of God. You understand? My God will supply your need. He didn't say, I'll supply your want. He said, I'll supply your need. Therefore, we go to this thing and we just take the want right out of here. And you got need. Take the want out of your life. Because God's not going to supply your want, but He will supply your need. This verse works, folks. It works. When you have to count on God for salvation, it works. Tell me something. What is a lost person's greatest need? Salvation. Now their wants? Endless. Endless. Paul addressing those Corinthians. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. He says, we then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Apparently they received some there that received it in vain. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith or not. How say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? He said, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know something? If you're not saved tonight, God's not going to give you a great lengthy life for you to at some point trust in Jesus Christ. There's no guarantee of it, I might say. No guarantee. You're not guaranteed another minute. So my suggestion to you is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. He loved you. He died for your sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. That's the gospel delivered unto us today. That is the good news. And the greatest need of a lost person today is salvation. It's interesting to note, back there in Philippians, once again in chapter 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. You see, Paul had lost people here. Paul had lost people in those assemblies, just like we do. He couldn't assume that everybody there was saved. All of the riches? God will supply all you need according to His riches? Compare that with Ephesians 3. Look over in Ephesians 3. Paul is talking about here the salvation that came to the Gentiles who had no hope. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Without God in the world. And the gospel came unto these Gentiles. And watch what he writes in Ephesians 3 verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. God will supply all your need according to His riches. Well, salvation is part of the riches. These Gentiles of Ephesians 3 experienced it. We have experienced it. God supplied our greatest need when we were lost, and that was salvation. Salvation. It's a free gift. Nobody has to go anywhere, do anything tonight. Just trust in the Lord if you've never done it. It's that simple. Paul called it the simplicity that is in Christ. It's simple. Take the one out, you're left with the need. And then you think about the saved people. That verse, God supplying all your need. For those of us that are saved, He supplies our need too. Whatever that need may be. Look over in 2 Corinthians, if you're there still. Look in chapter 12. Look in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. You know, preaching the gospel, it's not that it's difficult, but you're definitely up against the odds. And then preaching the Word of God rightly divided just magnifies it all. You know, we have a tough challenge. But you know something? God will supply the need. Did you know that by accounting standards, grace churches, financially, accounting, should not even be able to open the doors? I mean, when we had our conference at the end of May, financially, we couldn't afford it if we had an accountant outside of that one up there. He'd say, I'm sorry guys, I would suggest you don't do this. You don't have the money for it. And so the entire time, my toes leading up to this conference are gripping the stage like a monkey hanging from a branch. Just locked it. Like, oh, come on Lord, pull through on this one. Because if anything goes bad, you know where it goes back to. Well, Mark, you're running the show. So I, told people, we're going to have the conference, and I just want you to know. It's going to be a financial burden, and unfortunately, I don't have a lot of our group here to amen this, but you guys know, I don't preach on giving hardly any. Maybe once a year. But boy, it's a doozy. I knock them dead with it. But when I get up there and I do mention something about having a need for money and those type things, for the conference, I said, look, guys, just examine, your pay. We're all caught up in paying, giving the church this much a month, and that's how we do it. We had several people give $1,000. All right? Now, I'm not, but if you're a former Baptist, that's chump change to you. But to us, it's big. And we were able, at the end of the tally, pay the conference off in full, pay all the preachers that preached, and those type things. But on the way it looked at the start, this was not the Wright brothers. It wasn't getting off the ground. But it did. You know why? Because God supplies the need. God supplies the need. Now, my wants were way beyond that, but the need was supplied. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up in the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I'll not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, and that's the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he, the Lord, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's interesting to note. Paul had, because of the revelations, so that he wouldn't get exalted there, Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And apparently, this thing was so bad to him, this thing troubled him so much, that he went to the Lord three times about it to be removed. Let me ask you something. Do you think Paul wanted that thing removed? Sure, he wanted it removed. Did God remove it? No. But you know what he did? The Lord provided his need to do the ministry. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You see, we that are saved, we put our needs before the Lord. We go before the Lord and pray almost like we're crying little spoiled babies. Oh, I got this and I got that. Oh, God, help me do this. Help me do that. Well, get the want out and look what's left. You've got the need. Whatever your need is, God will supply it. And if you have a heart that's willing and desiring to help out the ministry, God will take care of you. He always has, and He always will. Me and Jerry agree on that. The rest of you... It's true when you go through these things. When you're bending down on your knees. Lord, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this. And then all of a sudden, the Lord provides. And once again, if you've not trusted in Jesus Christ, there's no reason for you to be lost. God supplied your need by Christ Jesus, and that is the gospel. He died for your sins, He was buried, and He was raised again the third day. Therefore, Christ doing it all for you, the only thing left is for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Let's do it.